Radio Smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salapatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salapatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen, music by Peter Van Steeden, and our special added attraction, the Town Hall Variety. New music, new voices, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight! Fred Allen as he leads the parade to the old town hall. Fred's leading the band with a shillelagh and is followed by those green horns of the theater, the Mighty Allen Art Players. Let's join the merry throng. Everybody's going. Here they come, delicatessen leaders.
Maris, why are you refusing to slice some corned beef for Mrs. Corn?
The slicing machine is making static on the radio stand, and it's town hall tonight.
Spiritualist.
Look, Professor Kell, the spirits are moving that radio up and down.
The radio is merely dancing for joy, madam. It's town hall tonight.
Reno divorces.
Your grounds for divorce are cruel and inhuman treatment, Mrs. Boggs.
Yes, George. My husband always turns off the radio on Wednesdays, and it's town hall tonight.
Well, sir, here we are before the old town hall. It's St. Patrick's Day, and Fred is welcoming the crowd with a brogue as folks pass inside. Let's listen.
Picare and be jabez. Old King Cole was a merry old soul, folks, and he got that way from coming to the old town hall. Single line, please.
Hi there, booby boy.
Hello, Jason. Hi there, Mrs. Fumble. Step right in. You laugh, you shout, like all get out on the inside. So hurry.
We're all set inside, Fred.
Surprising, Harry. Peter's opening the show with Swing High, Swing Low.
Righto, Fred. Let her swing, Peter.
A little swing can do more than anything else for you. Swing out, swing in. It's not a sin. So let's begin. You never get the gate if your swinging is up to date. When no one has only complained that she's lonely and
presenting that bombastic baron of big blatant bursts of bubbling, baffling buffoonery, bristling batter, and biangular bread buttering, blustering, blistering Fred Allen in person.
Gosh, Harry, you left out Bristol and Myers. I don't know how. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before we preen our verbal feathers and prepare to give your risibilities a rousing tickling this evening, I hope, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, everybody's grocer, says that nothing's happened this week, folks, so there'll be no announcement.
Yay!
Thank you, friends, and now we'll get along with the town hall news. The curtain, Harry.
Coming right down, Fred.
The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week. The town hall news sees nothing, shows all. New York City, New York. Dr. R.P. Wodehouse, speaking at the American Institute of General Sciences, claims that hay fever and asthma are increasing in this country. Dr. Wodehouse says clearing up of native vegetation and its replacement by alien plants will add to number of victims. Town hall news shows how sensitive some hay fever victims may become shortly. The scene, a train waiting room.
We can sit down here, Wilbur. The 5:15 isn't ready.
Yes, dear.
Good idea. Is your hay fever starting?
Yes, somebody's eating strawberries at the lunch counter. The straw starts to be sneezing.
Strawberries? That reminds me. I forgot to phone the market about dinner.
Have you got the number?
Yes, it's Haymarket.
Achoo! Don't say Haymarket. You know that hay upsets me.
All right, I won't say another word.
Achoo!
What was that?
I don't know. That woman just passed.
Is she wearing a goldenrod corsage?
I don't know.
She's going by again.
Achoo! Every time she walks by, I see.
I'll tell her to get away from here. Pardon me, lady.
Yes, sir. Did you call me?
Achoo!
Would you mind walking around the other way? You see my husband.
Are you intimating that I am ogling your husband?
No, but why is it every time you pass, you start my husband's hay fever?
I'm a grass widow.
Achoo!
New York City, New York. A new hit show opens on Broadway to delight New York theatergoers. Critics guarantee evening of laughs to patrons attending play called Yes, My Darling Daughter. Down Hall News presents 3-second review of this new laughing show, Yes, My Darling Daughter.
Daddy, you say one word has made you the biggest man in Hollywood?
That's right, daughter.
What is the magic word, Daddy?
Yes, My Darling Daughter.
New York City, New York. East Side Merchants Association agrees to do away with men outside of clothing stores who approach customers and try to pull them into shops. Town Hall News shows old sales approach method on East Side when the puller-in functioned outside of a clothing store.
Monster sale going on inside. My Grimbaum is sacrificing their suits. Old kinds, bottles, herringbone, sweet chinchillas going across. How about a suit, butter?
No. Hey, take your finger out of my buttonhole.
Step inside. I'll show you a pencil-striped double-breasted that will knock your eye out.
No. Get your hand out of my collar.
You're stepping in, butter?
No, I'm not stepping in. Now, let me go. I gotta catch a bus.
You are needing a suit, butter.
I don't need no suit. Now, quit pulling my lapel.
You are needing a suit.
Who said so?
I am saying so. Look.
What? Oh, what's the big idea ripping my lapel? I can't go home this way.
That's what I'm saying. You are needing a suit. Step inside, buddy.
With the puller-in salesman of this type banished, Town Hall News shows the new methods customers can expect as they pass East Side clothing stores in the near future.
Hey, buddy.
Talking to me, mister?
Yes, confidentially, you are needing a suit of garments.
No. No, thanks. I just bought a suit with 4 pair of pants yesterday.
You could use 3 coats, maybe, to go with the extra pants?
No, hey, quit jostling me.
You're going inside, buddy.
Get your hand off of my spine. Quit shoving.
Inside, buddy.
Hey, I thought the East Side stopped this pulling in business.
So who's pulling you in, buddy? I'm pushing.
New York City, New York. New 20th Century picture, Love is News, is held over a second week at the Roxy Theater. Produced by Darryl Zanuck, written by Harry Tugand and Jack Yellen, Love is News registers comedy triumph. Town Hall News brings you a 10-second preview of this excellent film, Love is News.
Wait, get your latest paper, read all about it.
What's the headline, boy?
Jack Benny and Fred Allen kiss and make up.
Is that a front page romance?
And how, mister?
With those two mudslingers, Love is News.
New York City, New York. Ship officers report stormy crossings on Atlantic Ocean. Record gales lash heavy seas, and ships experience trouble in navigating through storms. Town Hall News flashes candid camera shot of a terrible sea. The sea.
Encore, encore, Harry. I don't know about the bow, but it was good and niche there at the beginning. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And now...
If you'll bear with me, just a moment,
ladies and gentlemen, I'll try to find out what's on the mind of this disgruntled Eskimo, if you'll just turn around.
Well, I was just practicing.
Why, Harry Von Zell, a big boy like you.
Well,
It might have sounded funny, but you know, last night I was reading about Demosthenes.
And what are Demosthenes?
Oh, spread out. A big boy like you. Demosthenes was a famous Greek orator. And he used to practice speaking, you know, with pebbles in his mouth to improve his diction and enunciation. Like this, look.
Firm, flowers, and confident.
And just what do you... He didn't say that.
Huh?
And just what do you... Just what do you hope to accomplish pursuing this strange pastime, Harry?
Well, Fred, I just thought I'd keep practicing so that when I passed along those friendly tips about salopatica, there wouldn't be a chance of a single word being missed. Because to know about salopatica is to know a mighty effective way to get after those dull, logy, headachy feelings we have so often. Those under-par feelings usually caused by accumulated waste and resulting acidity. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sal hepatica is the mineral salt laxative that gets after both of those things at once. It removes wastes through laxation, and it helps nature combat that acidity. So the next time you feel under the weather, put 2 teaspoonfuls of sal hepatica in a glass of water and drink it. You'll soon be feeling your old normal self again if you remember sal hepatica for the smile of health.
Stephen and the Ipana Troubadours have just played Serenade in the Night. Now, on Friday night, there will be an...
Hour!
Oh, God.
Hour!
Now, quiet, please. Look, if that is somebody left over from a...
Hello?
Well, say, you've done it again, haven't you? Well, sir, the chairman laughed when I said I was going to take the floor. He didn't know the linoleum wasn't paid for. Well, it can lay there with the linoleum. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, Papa sent me over to see you. It's very important.
What's important?
Papa says you should make up your mind what night you're going to be on the radio.
Well, you don't think just because I went on with Jack Benny last Sunday that the people are getting confused, do you?
I'll say they are. I saw the man upstairs brushing his teeth with jello this morning.
Well... See, you will get a life membership in the Don Wilson Foundation for that. You've saved them that much work next Sunday. Well, that doesn't make any difference. People brush their teeth with Jell-O just as long as they don't try to buy Ipana in six delicious flavors. They'll be all right. Come in.
Telegram for Fred Allen.
Right here, boy.
All right, sign here. Here's a pencil.
Thank you, son.
The boy's still waiting, Mr. Allen.
Thank you, son.
Don't give me none of that, buddy.
Now, see here.
Listen, Greaseball, I don't mind not getting my tip, but when you try to cop my pencil, you're rubbing it in.
Here's your pencil, Stickler.
Okay, cheapskate.
That boy's too fresh.
Why don't you tear up the telegram and get even with him, Mr. Allen?
No, here, you read it. I've got to blow down my neck.
Blow down your neck?
Yes, I'm getting hot under the collar.
I'll see who the telegram's from.
All right. What does it say?
Dear Palsy Wowsy, happy birthday to you. I know it isn't your birthday, but I had to have an excuse to send you loads of love.
Who sent that?
It's signed Jack Benny.
Oh, Jackie, hey? He's a prince. Oh, there's a sweet guy, Portland. Good old Jackie. Gosh, he's so sweet, he's almost sticky.
It's silly to send a birthday wire when it isn't your birthday.
Listen, it isn't the stupidity. It's the sentiment gets me. There's the whitest guy I know.
Yes, you said he was anemic.
Now, listen, don't let anyone tell you Jackie Benny's anemic. He just stays white on purpose so everybody else will look healthy.
Gosh, Jack must have a big heart.
Why, Jackie Benny's heart's so big, you can put a stethoscope on him any place and get action. Did you hear his program last Sunday?
Yes. What was that static right in the middle of it?
Static? Was it before or after Jack and I sang?
It was during.
During? Well, let me tell you something. A lot of people didn't catch our names when we sang.
How do you know?
Nelson Eddy got 300 wires from people who said they enjoyed his double voice solo.
Gosh, to me it sounded like two wildcats picketing a pet shop.
Two wildcats picketing a pet shop. Do you know that the next morning after Jackie and I sang at the Pierre, all of the flowers bloomed in Central Park? They thought the robins were back from the South.
That's done it. Mr.
That's
Blow.
Done it.
Pastor.
Right, babe. You don't have to pay Humber Blow. Just drop a hint. I can hear it before it hits the ground.
Come on up, Casper.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Portland. I don't mind you bringing people in here, but when they're all wet, they leave puddles.
Now, listen, Ham. You ought to be flattered to be seen with a couple of good eggs. That's telling them, Casper.
Is Casper saying something, Mr. Blow?
Only a simpleton can understand Casper. That's why he's talking to himself.
Well, you ought to be able to catch Casper's drift, bud.
Somebody ought to put a sign on Casper's mouth, open by mistake.
Now, take it easy, brother.
Yeah.
You're jeopardizing the friendship of Humbert Blow, the outstanding theatrical agent of this generation.
Mr. Blow furnishes all kinds of talent, Mr. Allen.
Ho.
Why, Casper here can put your program on a map, Simple.
What does Casper do?
Imitation.
Right. Name your sound, folks, and Casper goes to town.
How about a fin calling to its haddock?
Quit clowning, bud.
How about molasses coming out of a jug?
Okay, let's go, Casper.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Molasses in this weather will take too long.
Okay, give us a ginger ale bottle, Casper.
It sounded like somebody with false teeth munching castanets to me.
Well, you ain't heard nothing yet. What's next, Castle Boy?
Oh, a lion.
Quiet, folks. One lion! Take it away, Casper! How's that, knobhead?
It sounded like the Holland Tunnel backfiring to me.
Hey, no belittling, Bud.
Can Casper do a Jersey cow, Mr. Blow?
Well, Jersey's too far away. You wouldn't hear it. How about a New York cow?
Listen, the only thing that gives milk in New York is a waiter.
Coconuts give milk, Mr. Allen.
Yeah, what about philanthropy?
Never mind, never mind. Give us the cow.
Okay. One Holstein, Casper.
Give.
Boy, are you hot. What's next, Casper?
A foghorn.
Okay, blast, Casper.
Foghorn.
It sounded like you and Jack Benny singing, Mr. Allen.
Now, you leave my pal out of this.
And now, folks, with your kind attention, Casper entertain his one and all with his own original Barnyard Community Sing.
What's that, Mr. Blow?
It's a foul choir.
Foul is right.
Quiet, dope. Give us that Plymouth Rock on cymbals, Casper.
He didn't lay an egg. He spread an omelet.
That's Cluck.
Cluck is the word for Casper.
Well, what's new, brother? Does Casper get the job?
Yes.
Congratulations, Casper.
Oh, thanks.
Well, when does he start on the radio?
What radio? I'm hiring him to break a lease in a boiler factory.
Why, you...
We better beat it, fellas.
Nice exterminating, Portland. So long.
Howie.
Oh.
And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight the boys sing a spiritual called Head Low.
Great day, great day. Hear that joyful sound.
Your foes,
my foes, they're all camp-meeting bound. Come on, honey, let us follow the crowd.
I feel the spirit and it's shouting out loud.
Don't wait too late, let your better self decide.
Give out,
give in, swallow all your pride. Cause every day is judgment day. Let's be on time to hear that good old deacon say. Head low, evil's round. Head low, hold your ground. Oh, there's no use talking, the devil's walking, yes, walking off through the land. Head low, let him cheer. Head low, keep out fear. Oh, the times are coming, the times are coming, brother, we need the good Lord's hand. Good news, good news, you can send this word around.
My soul
was lost, but now it's found. Come, my children, let's be going on our way.
I feel the spirit and it's trying to say,
we need to read the good book through and through.
We need
to heed like they used to do. Make stumbling blocks your stepping stone. Oh, how you love to hear that deacon when he moans. Hello, till him bend your ways. Hello, everybody give out praise. Cause through religion is a feeling you'll understand.
Hallelujah.
Hello. Hello.
begin to take some sticking before you get to the promised land.
Where you got shoes,
and I get shoes.
All got stealing get shoes in the promised land.
Gentlemen, and thank you, boys. And now for a thrilling excursion into the realm of the esoteric.
Oh, goody. Do we take sandwiches and hard-boiled eggs?
Do we take them where?
To the thrilling excursion.
Oh, Harry. That was just my erudite way of introducing a little item concerning beauty in Japan. A little music, Professor Van Steeden. There was a time in Japan when black teeth were considered beautiful. So they were dyed black with a liquid composed of iron filings and a species of nut applied to the teeth with a feather.
Ipana.
What do you mean by that, Harry?
Well, Fred, that's just my erudite way of introducing a little item concerning beauty in America, where only sparkling, naturally white teeth are considered beautiful, and where Ipana toothpaste plays such an important part in our standards of loveliness. Because Ipana is more than a toothpaste. For when used with massage, it helps tone and stimulate tender gums. The dentists say,
when our gums are soft and tender, our teeth are seldom bright and sparkling. Today, our gums do not get the exercise and stimulation they need from the soft, creamy, well-cooked foods we eat.
So we earnestly suggest that every time you brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste, you put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage your gums with it. It's the modern way to give them the toning and stimulation they need to help guard against gum trouble. Since Ipana goes so far in helping you have cleaner, brighter teeth, and as a result, far lovelier smiles, it will certainly pay you to always remember Ipana for the smile of beauty. Well, there's the theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players, and they'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
Gentlemen, we present the little group that inspired that song's success, this year's hisses, the Mighty Allen Art Players. Tonight, they present a backwoods drama entitled The Great Hillbilly Battle, or Harsh Words Don't Always Start a Feud. It's when somebody says, oh, shoot. Over to you, Peter. Quit prodding me. What is it, Sarah?
Get out, you lazy juggins.
Well, it ain't hardly daylight yet.
Past daylight. The sun's slow this morning.
Well, everything ready?
Yep. Your rifle's loaded and the coffee's on.
Good. I'll take a shot over at the Carver's cabin. Let them varmints know we're up and flaring the feud. Take that, you lout.
Any luck?
Well, I don't know. I shot low into the cabin. Case old Carver's sleeping on the floor.
Oh, there goes our last winder.
Yep, the Carver's is up. They're tardy this morning.
I'm getting sick of this feuding, Eli. I ain't been out this cabin for nigh on 40 years.
And you gotta stunt your wanderlust, Sari. For the last 200 years, us Allens has been feuding the Carvers. 3 generations Allens has been born, farmed, feuded, and died without leaving this here room.
Well, mighty convenient, but that's all.
My great-grandpa Luther is buried yonder under that butter churn there. Grandma Nell's and Uncle Dud's tombstones we're using for bookends for Pilgrim's Progress. And you're standing on Cousin Nathan right now.
It's going to be mighty stuffy in here on Resurrection Day. Don't ding them covers.
Clean through the wall. Where'd that bullet go?
Yonder in the potato patch under the bed.
Well, I'll just take another pop at them vandals. You can take this, you prairie, you bangers. I'll show them.
Well, that's all the feuding I can go on an empty belly.
I'll get to breakfast.
Is Pa awake?
I can't tell. He's too lazy to shut his eyes. He sleeps with them open.
Pa?
Unhand me, Daniel Boone.
He's dreaming. Pa, Pa, wake up. Pa, wake up.
Jeepers creepers, son, I'm awake.
Lord, right through Lydia Pinkham's picture.
Them mangy carvers? At 'em, son.
I will. Take this, you snakes. Right through that keyhole by dad.
Say, what's for breakfast? Owl a la king again?
No, no. No poultry this morning, Pa. Nothing but coffee.
Ain't there no bacon, Ma?
Only what's left on the hog.
How many hogs we got left, son?
Just the old sow, Bessie.
Better to fetch her then, Eli.
Right enough, Sari. Come out here to your doom, Bessie.
I'll get my rifle.
Yeah, now, hold on. You ain't wasting our ammunition, son.
Well, I can't jujitsu her to death, Pa. She'll pass out rigid.
That's right, Pa. You want your bacon relaxed, don't you?
Yes, well, just put the pig outside the door. The carvers will shoot her. It'll save us a bullet.
That's cutting down the budget, Pa.
Come on, Bessie.
I'll tie a rope onto her so she can't run away.
Yep, and better put your hat on the pig, son.
Afraid your bacon will catch cold, Pa?
No, but if old man Carver sees a pig with a hat on, he'll think it's you creeping out the cabin on your stomach. He's sure it's huge.
Well, okey-dokey, I'll put my Stetson on her.
Steady, Bill.
That looks better on the pig than it does on you, son.
Oh, go shuck your soft corn, Pa. You'll open the door, Sari.
Over, Bessie.
Get, Bessie.
Right between the eyes.
Well, one thing about this few is you get service.
Drag her in, Eli.
Okay, Bidoki. Are you now?
I'll close the door.
Set her over here near the stove, son. I'll amputate some bacon.
Gee, you! Something's burning.
It's you, Pa. You got one of your feet on that red-hot stove.
Which foot, son?
It's your left one, Pa. Gosh, two of your toes is clinkers.
Well, could be worse. I still got three toes left.
Lord, I wish you'd wash your feet, Pa, before you grill them.
Wash them? Wash them for what? I ain't showing off at my age.
You ought to stand up someday, Pa, or surprise your feet.
Well, there goes breakfast. Carver just shot the coffee pot off in the stove.
Adam, son.
Yeah. Take this, you rat-faced scum. Bully for me.
Bullseye, Eli?
Yep. Old Carver was making a sign at me. Well, sir, I shot his thumb out from between his nose and his forefinger.
Nice aiming, son.
There's the postman. No shooting, Eli.
No, postman's got the right of way. The only thing us and the Carver's grease on.
Open the door, somebody.
I'm hauling gingham, Pa.
Howdy, folks.
Howdy, Abner. Notice any mail, Abner?
Just your morning batch of insults from the Carvers.
Yeah? What word of mouth Benham's Carver up to today?
Well, to start off with, he says, you Allens are so low, they'll have to jack you up to bury you.
Why, them rodent-eating trash,
them weed-munching mongrels.
Ditto for me, too. Anything else, Abner?
Yep, here's Carver's thought for the day.
Let's have it.
Well, Carver says, you're so all-fired mean, you wouldn't eat in front of a mirror for fear your reflection had asked you for a bite.
Why, that narrow-minded misfit.
Any reply?
You can bet your bottom postcard there's a reply.
You can tell Carver for me. He's so filthy. The last time he met a skunk face to face, the skunk went home with an inferiority complex.
That ought to right him.
Yep, and here's my thought for the day. You can tell that drooling, fork-footed, snuff-dipping gopher that he's so undernourished, his idea of high living is dipping his bread into a rabbit track before he eats it.
Anything else?
No, that'll hold Carver for the day, I guess.
Well, I'll get along. Can't hold up the mail. So long.
So long, Captain.
Well, Carver will have to go some to answer them insults.
Yeah, them slurs will bring him up proper.
If our son Hector don't come home, he could help us with the fjord.
Hector's only Alan ever escaped from the cabin.
Say, how'd he get away? I was sleeping that spring.
Hector was only four when he stampeded 20 years ago.
Yep, creeped right out of the cabin. Kid was so hairy and dirty looking, Carver thought he was a possum.
Funny he never sent no word.
Well, Hector might have crawled into a gopher hole and quit the human race. You can't tell.
Mailman back again.
Abner must have forget one of them insults we mailed to Carver.
Well, open the door.
Hello, folks.
Who is it, Eli?
Don't know, Parts. Abner's suit, but a stranger sporting it.
Don't you know me, Ma?
Who are you, Buttercheek?
Why, I'm Hector, Ma, your male brat that got away 20 years ago.
If you're sure enough, Hector, what you doing in that mailman's get-up?
Well, Abner let me work so old Carver wouldn't pick me off coming up the trail.
Are you Hector Honor Bright, Bulky?
Right as rickets, Grandpa. Just bust into town on a greyhound.
Riding dogs is mighty dangerous, Hector.
How'd you loll away your youth, Sam?
Been studying at Barber College, Paul. Graduated last week with high honors. Magna cum sideburn.
What's the latest news out yonder, Hector?
Dewey still holding them off at Manila?
Just gather the rest folks around and I'll give you all the news.
We're all that's left, Hector.
Why, where's Uncle Dud?
Uncle Dud leaned out to spit in 27. Carver's got him.
Grandma, too?
Yep. She opened the door to shake the broom. They got Grandma between the dustpan and the broom handle.
Your ma and me's carrying on the feud short-handed, Hector.
Then I just got home in time.
Sure did, son. I'll oil your gun.
No, I ain't shooting, Paul. I came home to stop the feud.
You ain't going to throw your paw out of work, Hector.
Are you attached, son?
No, Paul. I'll come back to bring you tidings.
Tidings?
What tidings?
Well, sir, the president's got a scheme to help folks like you.
You can tell McKinley he can mind his old goddamn business.
Now, St. McKinley, Paul. It's Roosevelt.
Well, we don't want him and his Rough Riders a button in other.
Now, sir.
No, now, this is another Roosevelt president now. He's got a scheme called sociable security.
What's it like, bingo?
No, it ain't no gamble, Paul. When you get to be 65, you get paid.
Paid for what?
For being 65. It's a reward, like.
What's that? What's that got to do with your ma and me?
Well, you got to stop feuding. If you both get killed off before you get to be 65, you won't get paid.
Hey, are you sure the government's giving real money?
Yep, real money, all right, with eagles on it, for spending.
Well, money makes the mare go, and I can feel the horse coming out of me.
Say, it sounds tempting. We ought to call off the feud.
Now, hold on. Suppose we stop feuding, and Carver keeps on a-going.
Carver's willing to feud me. Abner pumped him yesterday.
Fair enough. Might as well give in, Eli.
Yeah, might as well, son. It's real money.
Come on, Paul.
Well, okay, but dokey, the feud's over.
Hooray!
Now wait. Hold on. Before there's any more cheering, when do I get paid?
Right away. Here's your sociable security blank, Paul. All you got to do is sign your name right.
Now load your guns, folks. The feud's back on.
What's eating you, Paul?
What's on that gun, Eli?
Hold on, son. You ain't passing up that money.
You heard my battle cry. The feud's on.
What? You mean you'd rather die fighting than sign your name to this blank, Paul?
I ain't got no choice, son. You know I can't write my name. Come on, you Carver.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. So much for the mighty Alan R. players who, as contributors to the rapid decline of the drama, are not to be sneezed at. And the guest we now present, Professor Jameson, is not to be sneezed at either, for he has made a lifelong study of that famous winter sport. The Professor Savant Deluxe says...
During the Middle Ages, ladies and gentlemen, there was a popular belief that when a person sneezed, the soul momentarily left the body, being violently expelled through the nostrils. During that instant of temporary vacancy, the body was at the mercy of the devil, who could take possession of it before the soul got back again unless some quick-witted person protected the body by saying Gesundheit.
Well, now, that's very interesting, Professor. Did all the nations have that belief?
Well, some expression of that belief still survives in many countries. In Germany, of course, they still say Gesundheit. A French sneeze is greeted with Dieu vous bénisse. Italians say salute. And when a person sneezes in this country, if a friend has his best wishes at heart, he will say...
Yeah, I know, Professor. Sal hepatica. For while sal hepatica won't help you fight off devils, it certainly will help you to fight a cold. Modern physicians say that you can often help throw off a cold more quickly by doing two fundamental things at its very beginning. Remove waste through laxation and help nature combat the acidity that frequently accompanies a cold. And, ladies and gentlemen, you can do both of these things at once by taking sal hepatica. So at the very first sneeze, the minute you feel you're catching a cold, do this.
Get plenty of rest. Drink lots of liquids and watch your diet. But first, above all else, put 2 teaspoonfuls of sal hepatica in a glass of water and drink it.
Don't take chances with a cold, ladies and gentlemen. Take sal hepatica for the smile of health. Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours are playing this year's Kisses, the vocal Kisses by the Town Hall Quartet. Setting the stage for the next event at the Old Town Hall. The Mighty Allen Art Players are being wrapped in cellophane to keep them fresh for next week. Huh? And Fred is distributing shamrocks to his guest stars for tonight. Looks as though we're about ready. All set, Fred?
Yes, Harry. This is St. Patrick's Day, and we're making it sort of an all-Irish evening for our guests.
I see. You're Dublin, the entertainment.
Oh. I'll hang around if you want to laugh at it yourself, Harry. Oh. Otherwise, I'll...
After hearing it, I've changed my mind.
The show really looks swell, Harry. We have Adrian O'Brien, who in a few minutes is going to be your favorite tenor, the Doherty sisters, Martin Burns and his Irish band.
Gee, that sounds great, Fred. Who's first?
Well, first, we have Professor Quigley left over from last week, you know.
Oh, yes, Professor Quigley, the escape artist. Yes. He had some trouble last week.
Yes, but I'm sure he'll be all right tonight. Are you ready, Professor Quigley?
Yes, Mr. Allen, right on the job.
Ladies and gentlemen, last week, you may remember, Professor Quigley attempted to escape from a packing case.
In 3 minutes.
Just a minute, Professor, I'm making an announcement.
I know. I didn't get the full 3 minutes last Wednesday.
Yeah, I know, I'm trying to explain that to the radio audience.
My glasses fell off. I could have escaped. But you can't see anything in the dark when your glasses fall off.
I know. You can't see anything in the dark with your glasses on, either.
Now, don't change the subject, Alan. I'm raring to go.
Well, you want people to know what you're going to do, don't you?
I'm going to get in this packing case. They'll see me getting in. You don't have to explain it.
I know, but people don't know what you're getting in there for. They might think you live in there or something.
Now, listen, Alan. Last week you said if I came up here tonight, I could escape. Now, that's what I'm here for. Talking isn't getting us anywhere.
All right.
Well, now, don't get sore about it.
I'm not sore.
If you just keep quiet a minute, I'll explain everything to our audience. Then you can get in the box and stay there for all I care.
I'll be out in 3 minutes.
All right, but... But keep quiet. KQ. Ladies and gentlemen, last week, Professor Quigley dropped his glasses in the middle of a vital experiment in escape, in the art of escaping, I might say, and wasn't able to get out within his allotted time. Now, tonight, we're locking him in the packing case again and hoping for the best. You look a little winded, Professor.
Yes, I was late getting to the studio. I got stuck in the traffic.
You're an escape artist and you can't get out of traffic?
Yes, on account of St. Patrick's Day parade, they kept the green lights on Fifth Avenue all day. I couldn't get across town.
Did you leave your car in traffic and run over?
No, I didn't. I parked my car downstairs.
You did, huh?
I was in a hurry, but I guess it'll be all right there.
Yes, it'll be all right. The doorman will keep his eye on it. You can escape with a clear conscience. And now, Professor, if you'll get in your packing case, we'll go right ahead with the show. Now, before we start, Professor, try not to escape during one of the... Professor's not as limber as he used to be. I remember last week he vaulted right into the bar. Here, Uncle Jim had to sort of give him a little piggyback in reverse, I might say. A piggyback on the other side. Well, before we start, Professor, try not to escape during one of the guest acts, if you will. If you feel the time has come, try to escape if you can time it between the acts. You know,
wait a minute.
It's going to look bad if you pop out and get a big reception while someone's in the middle of a song.
I'll be out in 3 minutes. Every man for himself.
And now, while Uncle Jim is locking and nailing Professor Quigley in, we'll return to the entertainment. You all set, Uncle Jim?
All okay, Fred.
We don't want him to get out when we're not looking. Just lock that up. I don't think the lock is good and secure, huh?
Yes, indeed.
But I don't think you'll have to nail it down. We'll all keep an eye on him and see what happens. Now we'll go right along with the show. Our first guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet a beautiful voice possessed by a likable chap. The voice is tenor, and the young man is Adrian O'Brien. Adrian, this is St. Patrick's Day, and if a gentleman with the name of Adrian O'Brien can't sing his best on the natal day of his favorite patron saint, I'm afraid the race is going to do something drastic about it. You're from, how do you feel about it? You think
okay,
you feel in rare form tonight? Rare voice, I might say?
Well, I really should.
You should?
I hope it brings out the best in me.
Well, I'm sure that it will. You come from up in Boston, don't you?
Yes.
I know Bill McKenney has told me quite a lot about you and told me confidentially that you are considered to be the John McCormick of New England. Is that right?
Well,
I've got
much
pinned
to say
down.
About that.
You have nothing to say, all right?
I'll settle for Morton Downey.
Well, how come you spend so much time up in Boston with a voice like yours? Why don't you come over here with all of the nightclubs and radio and one thing and another? I should think you'd have been over here long ago.
Well, I was here, Fred, in 1931.
1931, well, 5 years ago.
Well, I was pretty young, just a callow youth at that time.
Callow? And now you have blossomed, as it were, huh? Did you hear Jack Benny, did you hear our song the other night, Jack Benny and I, when we sang?
Yes, I did.
You did, huh? You know, the next day that song dropped out of the hit parade and got into the sweepstakes winners. But, Adrian, well, I want you to know we're happy to have you here tonight, and I'm going to ask you what you're going to sing.
Well, in honor of the occasion, I'll sing one of the best-known Irish songs, A Little Bit of Heaven.
A Little Bit of Heaven. Thank you very much.
Have you ever heard the story of how Ireland got its name? I'll tell you so you'll understand from whence old Ireland came. No wonder that we're proud of that dear land across the sea. For here is the way, my dear old mother told the tale to me. Sure, a little bit of heaven fell from and it nestled on the ocean, in a spot so far away. And when the angels found it, sure it looked so sweet and fair. They said, suppose we leave it, for it looked so peaceful there. Then they sprinkled it with stardust, just to make the shamrock grow. Is the only place you'll find them, no matter where you go. And they dotted it with silver to make its lake so grand. And when they had it finished, sure they called it a
Adrian. And now, before we present the next act, we'll see how Professor Quigley is doing. What's new, Professor?
I'm going along fine. I'll be out in a jiffy.
All right, we'll be...
There's the phone, Fred.
Well, I'm busy with the professor. Will you take it, Harry? The phone is over on the chair there.
Just hello. The doorman downstairs. What?
Who is it, Harry?
The doorman. Something about a car downstairs.
Well, let me talk to him. Professor Quigley, I'll see you. Don't want to disturb any. Hello? What? Professor Quigley's car is parked near the fire hydrant. You want to talk to him on the phone? Well, I don't know whether the professor can talk to you now. I'll see. Professor?
Be right out.
No, somebody wants you on the phone.
What?
You want it on the phone. The phone, the telephone.
I'll take it.
Shall we open the box?
No, no. Put the phone down here.
All right. Will you take this over to the professor, Uncle Jim? You just set it down there. We wouldn't want to... You all right? All right, Professor.
All right. Hello? You'll have to speak louder. What? My car is next to a fire hydrant. No, no. Don't move it. I'll be right down. Okay. Goodbye.
Everything all right, Professor?
Yes. They want me to move my car. I'll be right out.
All right, all right. Now, while we're waiting to welcome Professor Quigley, ladies and gentlemen, our next guests tonight are Martin Burns and his Irish Blackbird. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the best-known Irish bands in New York City. Martin Burns, Mr. Burns, and his Irish Blackbirds are very well known at the Innisfail Ballrooms over on East 56th Street and have played practically all of the outstanding Irish festive events in New York for the past several years. And what are you going to play tonight, Mr. Burns?
I'm going to play some marches and an Irish reel.
Are you going to play Kilkenny for Me, the Boys from Wexford, and the reel, the Old Maids of Galway. Is that right? Those are the numbers, all right. Martin Burns and his Irish Blackbird. Thank you. heard Martin Burns and his Irish Blackbirds. And now before the next number, come in.
Is Professor Quigley here?
Yes, but he's pretty busy right now, sir.
Well, can I see him?
Not from there, no.
Now, quit stalling, Bud. I got to see this Quigley right away.
Now, just a minute. Who are you?
Police headquarters. Plainclothes squad, Bud. Now, where's Quigley?
He's in that box.
Who are you trying to kid, brother?
Professor Quigley's an escape artist. He's in that box. He's busy escaping.
Oh, yeah? Hey, Quigley!
Right out!
Now, listen, stupid. Your car is parked in front of a fire hydrant downstairs. If you don't get that can out of there in 2 minutes, I'll run you in.
Okay. I'll speed it up in here.
Come on, come on. Get out of that box and move that percolator.
Well, can't you come back a little later on?
And the law, Alan, on this bum.
Yes?
Yes, you, Quigley. Open this box in the name of the law.
You better open it up, Uncle Jim.
Okay, Fred.
Looks as though we're going to...
Open that casket or I'll bust it in.
I don't
know. This is an outrage. You've ruined my act. You can't get away with this.
Come on, punk. You're resisting the law.
Now, you better go. This is an officer, Professor. You better go.
But what about my performance? What about my escape act? Well, listen, if I had a little peace around here, I could get out of that box in 3 minutes. Come on, Tony.
Just a minute, officer.
Now, listen, what about my escape?
There's nothing we can do about it tonight, Professor. I'll admit you've been molested, and there's only one thing I can suggest. Now, if you want to come back again next Wednesday, I think you're entitled to another chance.
I'll be here with bells on.
Come on, Quigley.
No, Professor Quigley, to you, Flatfoot.
I hope you won't have any trouble with that ticket, Professor.
I'll get out of that in 3 minutes flat. Professor Quigley never fails.
Come on, bum.
Professor Quigley will positively appear next Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen. Will he escape? While you're figuring out the answer, we present our next number, two young ladies from the County Bayonne in New Jersey, Maria and Julia Doherty. We are happy to welcome the Doherty sisters back on our program tonight, on our Irish night, and you girls are going to dance a jig or a reel. Which is it?
An Irish jig.
An Irish jig, huh? And what is the number called? The cow that ate the blanket. Is that the one?
That's it. I forgot about that.
The cow that ate the blanket, its milk will tickle you to death, huh? Well, all right, you go right ahead. Gentlemen, before our bird's eye preview of next week's cantata, I would just like to thank the many friends who have taken the time to write to us, both about these programs and about the two products that make them all possible. We hope you'll continue to remember the famous tube and the famous bottle.
Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica.
Thank you, Harry. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday evening, Town Hall tonight brings you comedy. Drama.
Honey, phrases won't win me over, Schema. I know you're after my money.
That's right, lady. Your income tax should have been filed the 15th.
Stock market report.
Consolidated Tin Can opens ragged.
And music. Good night.
Selection this year's pictures performed on this program was from On the Avenue. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.